Welcome back to a special edition of the Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John, your host. As you're listening to this, I am hopefully in Kenya. If I'm not in Kenya, then I hope I'm somewhere in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, because the alternative is I missed a connecting flight and I would rather die. But rather than take 2 weeks off, I decided we'd do something a little bit different this week. Still fantasy related though, don't worry. But how funny would it be though if I just like sang, just sang covers of songs that I like? Exclusively songs that Tom hates, like Coco, or what's that other one? Broccoli. He hates that song. I don't know why. Fucking jam. But no, that is not the case. We have a special guest this week, and this guy is not in our league, but to be honest, he probably texts me about it more than any of you, and he's a massive fan of the Super Friends Fantasy Football League. That's right. We have the owner of the Bad News Bears, Keegan Walters, with us. Keegan, welcome to the pod. How you doing, buddy?
Mr. Dillard, I have never been better. Big fan of the league, even bigger fan of the pod.
How would you say getting on this podcast lines up with your personal and professional accomplishments?
I'm pretty sure when I interviewed for my last job, I depicted it in my 5-year plan. So I think I'm doing pretty well.
Right on track then. You're killing it. Awesome. Well, as always, give us a life update. What's going on in Kilmarnock?
Well, I mean, well, you're not going to get many updates there. I mean, it's Kilmarnock.
True.
Just got to celebrate the wonderful wedding of Curtis and Kristen Kennedy.
Yeah. So, what a wedding.
Great getting to see some of the boys. Beautiful wedding, fantastic food, even better company, so can't complain.
What was the highlight of the weekend for you?
Getting to be with all the college guys. I mean, it does not get much better than getting to relive some good memories, have a bunch of laughs, and just get to be around everyone again.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. I'd say for me, it was just nice to attend a wedding where your wife didn't rip my fucking shirt off. that might have been my highlight. But
all of the buttons were saved this week.
Amazing. And well, let's tell the story about you putting your shirt on right before the wedding.
I think this story is made even better by the fact that I was laughing about how you had previously attended a wedding and mm-hmm. accidentally brought your shirt that Sydney had ripped half of the buttons off of.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so funny. And lo and behold, I go to put my dress shirt on, realize, wow, this does not have a single button on it. I just did exactly what John did and I had been laughing about. But of course, Matt Chess had accounted for all possibilities and packed not one, but two white dress shirts.
He's way too responsible. It's incredible. But yeah, that was
what a guy.
That was, I mean, I'm really glad there was a backup so that we could laugh about it. But my God, was that fucking funny? That was killing me.
I was so grateful for Matthew's thoughtful planning.
Yeah, he's a great guy. All right, well, since we're recording this early, we don't have any games to review, and since you always listen to the Super Friends about the Super Friends League, I thought it'd be fun to hear about your fantasy league a little bit. So tell us about that. What's the name of the league?
Name of the league is Medicinal Gambling.
Nice. Love that. And how long has this been in existence?
So quite different than the Super Friends League. This is only our second year in existence. We we had kind of been tossing around the idea with a few of us about starting a dynasty league mm-hmm. where all keepers all the time. And we went ahead and did it.
Nice. That's awesome. I've always had a dream of doing a dynasty league. Well, I used to. Now I'm not so sure I could make that commitment. But yeah, it sounds really interesting. Who's in this league? Who would I know?
So a few people that you know and some of the listeners on the pod. Dave Hahn is in it. Sean, Mouse. So a lot of Butler people. My cousin Eric.
Okay, yeah.
Sean's dad, Sean's cousin.
There we go.
A lot of Bernardis in this league. And then from there, it's kind of a it kind of branches off from a lot of Mouse's friends and, I guess, extended friends. Like, there's a few people, like, I've never met. One being a guy, I don't even know his real name. He goes by Plumpy.
Okay, love
and
that.
And then another guy who I just saw, someone just sent a picture of him in the league chat the other day. And here, I thought this was like a 20 or 30-something year old guy. This is like a 60-year-old regular dude.
Nice.
Yeah. So just a bunch of guys who love fantasy football.
There you go. Well, that sounds like a great time. I lost track of that. How many teams was that?
There are 14 teams in the league. It is deep.
14 teams. And how many keepers?
So our rosters, I had to go back through. So we have in our starting slots, one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, and then three flex spots and one defense. But then there are 14 bench spots, which is freaking insane. That compares to, I think that each team in the Super Friends League has 16 total roster spots. We have 14 on our bench.
My God, that's incredible.
Yeah, it makes it extremely difficult, though.
I'm just counting through now. 10, 11, 12, 13, 16. Yeah, you're right. Holy shit. that is a deep-ass league. And are you full PPR, half PPR, something weird?
Yeah, so we're full PPR.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the quarterback scoring is standard. I don't know. It goes by every, like, 25 yards, 4 points for a passing touchdown, 6 points for rushing or receiving. So aside from being full PPR, it's pretty standard scoring.
Gotcha.
But it does gives a lot more value to wide receivers or receiving running backs.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. That's incredible. And I think the other incredible part is how much money is put in. Tell the listeners about that.
Yeah, it's I guess when we made the league, we were feeling pretty ballsy. We put on our big boy pants, and it's $100 yearly buy-in. But then in addition to that, any transactions, waiver wires are $5, and that just goes into like a general pot. Mm-hmm. that helps with payouts. Like, for example, if you score the most points in a given week, you win $50, and part of that comes from the transaction fees.
Gotcha. Interesting. Is there a cap on how many transactions you can do?
There are not. I think last year, the most transactions that a team had made was, I think, like 12, and the least was zero.
Wow. Okay. Nice. That's pretty interesting. So you said each week the highest scoring team gets $50. I love that incentive. That makes a lot of sense. Is there any other cash give outs, or does the rest just go to the winner?
So we had talked about starting to do like a rookie of the year each year, because we do a rookie draft each season. That's just three rounds. And I mean, obviously the guys that are going to go first are the pretty highly touted rookies. But mm-hmm. I mean, just like the regular NFL draft, you never know. You got guys that break out. So I don't know if we had voted on it in time for the season, but it's something that's in the works.
Yeah, I like that. That'd be a fun one. And as far as your draft goes, what is that like? How's that work for a 40 keeper league?
Yeah, so we did an initial like regular snake draft before last season. You know, nothing fancy about that. And then each year now it's a three round rookie draft. You get a first, a second, a third round pick that you are free to trade if you'd like. And we're working on the timing of it. Last year we did it not long after the NFL draft because we just kind of wanted some kind of league action. But, you know, we're kind of learning from that. And obviously a lot happens in the off season and during training camp. So we're considering maybe moving that to mid preseason or after preseason. But that's going to be something that we have to vote on before we start next year.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty intense. The initial snake draft must have been, I mean, that's some big pressure. You're basically marrying these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of us tried to find a good balance between older, established veterans, you know, that could really produce, but then also take a little bit of risk with younger guys that, you know, you hope will be providing a lot of value to your team for a long time to come.
Right, yeah. Tell us, do you remember who you drafted this year?
So in our rookie draft, you mean?
Yeah, your rookie draft.
Yes. So I traded actually during draft day. So this was funny. We actually didn't do an in-person draft for the rookie draft, but what we decided was to make each person's pick like 24 hours. So if you, you know, for the most part, people would just pick within like 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, I think we set it for a weekend so we could kind of have some more free time. But then some people had things to do. So it took a couple days.
Oh, but, interesting.
It was, I honestly liked it that way.
Yeah.
But I traded away my first round pick on draft day for Hunter Renfrow and Elijah Mitchell. Trying to get a little deeper.
Okay.
So I had I think 2 second round picks. I drafted Malik Willis, who's now backing up Tannehill on the Titans. I drafted Tyler Allgeier as a running back, who actually is now starting in place of Cordarrelle Patterson. And then I drafted Isaiah Pacheco, who actually got the start at running back for the Chiefs this week. But again, like, Pacheco's a guy that went in the 7th round of the NFL draft. So you're kind of grasping at straws, yeah.
Oh my God, it's incredible. I should have looked up before this how many rookies any of us have on our team, because I have no idea. I don't know who is or isn't a rookie on my team. I don't think I have any, but yeah, that's pretty wild.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at that. I know that you have Chris Olave.
Oh, he's a rookie. How about that? Way to go,
yeah,
Chris Olave.
A pretty strong rookie, and I think that's the only one.
Nice.
I can't remember if Kenneth Walker's a rookie, isn't he?
He might be. He just might be. That's crazy. Wow. And doing it, like, for you guys doing it so shortly after the NFL draft, that seems nuts to me, because I don't know who the fuck any of these people are 3 years into the league. I need them to at least go through a training camp for, you know, sports writers to tell me who's good.
I mean, that's pretty much how I did a lot of it, was just based on the sports writers. But you get some insight into, you know, which NFL team drafts them,
right,
and, you know, the state of that franchise at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, Dave Hahn is going so crazy as to right now, like, scouting them while watching the NCAA games and figuring out who he's going to draft. But that is way too hardcore for me.
Doing this podcast is way too hardcore for me. I think it was you at the wedding asked who the backup running back for Green Bay was. And I answered, and then Steve looked at me and he was like, "How the fuck did you know that?" It's like, well, Steve, I'm way too into fantasy football this year. Do you remember who the first overall pick was this year in the rookie draft?
Yeah, this year it was Breece Hall.
Okay. Does it pretty closely mirror like the NFL draft? Is there any correlation?
Pretty much. And we've only had, you know, the one rookie draft so far, but it was really not far off. Especially because, like, you're only drafting skill guys. You know, you're not drafting defensive players or linemen or special teamers. So, I mean, I feel like 3 rounds of 14 teams pretty much is about all of the decent offensive rookies.
Right. Yeah. And David, I just got off the phone with him for the previous episode. He mentioned that you don't have defense or kickers on your team. Is that right?
So we don't have kickers. We do currently have like a defense special team,
Okay.
but we have voted to get rid of it after next year.
Okay, nice. What was the reasoning behind that?
The consensus was that they didn't like that defenses played a role. I don't know.
Yeah.
I majority rules.
Yeah, I get that. I have a mostly hate relationship with the defense special team slot too. Well, yeah, we were kind of bouncing around. Maybe we talk about that in the off season, maybe doing something along those lines, but we'll see. And is there any punishment right now for the loser?
No, thank God.
Yeah.
I know we were talking about some, funny and common punishments last weekend, but no. And because honestly, in Dynasty, I mean, you can tank. And since it's just such a long term, some people are looking like several years out, like they're trying to acquire first round picks. And, the way I see it, if you want to tank, go ahead and tank. Let other people have a chance at winning it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a little different just in this format, but it wouldn't shock me if we do end up going with some type of punishment moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty intense already to then also add a punishment for the loser.
John, I can't remember. Is there a last place penalty in y'all's league?
It's a very friendly one. You have to take the winner out to dinner, one on one.
Oh, that's right.
And I think there's a $2 sign on Google maximum. But if I have any say in it, that's gonna bump up to $3 signs this off season. But we'll see if other people agree with me. But yeah, that's all we have though. And then we've also changed the payout this year to include the best record and highest point total on the year, in addition to the champion. So
Okay.
that's how we're doing it this year.
I like it.
As far as the waiver pickups being $5 a piece, do you just like have to wait for it to go through and then Venmo Dave for that?
Yeah, so our commissioner is Mouse.
Oh, mouse. Okay.
But now he just tallies it at the end of the year. So we pay the 100 up front, and then he just does a running tally throughout the year of number of transactions and who has won high week, and then he kind of settles up at the end of the year. So like for
Gotcha.
example, if you never win high week and you have 10 transactions, you're going to owe 50 at the end of the year. But if you win high week a bunch, and yeah, he finds it easier just to do it at the end of the season. So
Yeah.
it's not like constantly paying or receiving.
Okay, gotcha. Man, that is interesting. I wonder if our league would ever do something like that because we have an active waiver wire. I think I'm trying to pull it up now. I think Denny Irvine's Gatorade has like 19. Yeah, they have 19. Well, 19 moves. I guess that includes trades. I don't know just about waiver wire.
Wow.
And the Real Americans are always up there. They're hounding the waiver wire. He's got 15 this year. So, yeah, I think it'd be interesting to do something like that because then you can't just, well, Randy wouldn't give a fuck about $5, especially $5 that he has to pay in the future. He'd barely even remember it. But yeah, that's pretty interesting. I like that. And who's the, well, I said who's the juggernaut of this league, but I guess if you've only had one complete season, is that right?
Yeah, so I still there is still someone who's kind of a clear front runner, and that's Mr. Bernardi. Sean's dad won it last year.
Okay.
Sean is looking great this year. He's a very good planner in terms of keeping his current value, but also starting to plan for the future. Honestly, this year is looking like, Sean or his dad could win it, but we also have two of the guys I talked about earlier, Plumpy, who I still don't know what the hell his real name is, or Paul Collins. And yeah, those four I think are going to be fighting for the top spot.
Yeah, nice. And tell us about your team. Tell us about the Bad News Bears. What's going on with them?
Well, I think the name really explains it, but I tried to. I feel like I have a lot of B teamers on my team right now.
Okay.
Like I am deep because I wanted to give myself a little bit of room for players getting injured, and try to survive through the bye weeks. Last year I found a lot of success in the waiver wires, especially as players got injured and a lot of third and fourth stringers got promoted up to second and third string. So it hasn't quite worked out for me yet, but got the win this week, and as we head into bye week season, we'll see how it works.
Nice. And who are some of your key guys on the team?
Jaylen Waddle is definitely my rock. Aaron Jones is a pretty consistent point earner. Dak, but then I've got a, like I said, a lot of like B teamers. I mean, David Montgomery for the Bears, pretty middle of the pack, but he produces points. Elijah Mitchell before he got hurt was slated to be San Fran's number one, for what that's worth. Muth. So yeah, no one that's really gonna, like, other than Waddle and Jones, like, really light it up too much, but everyone else gives me pretty decent production consistently.
And what's your record so far this year?
Right now I'm 2-5.
2-5. All right. All right. Well, what's the strategy moving forward? How are we going to turn this ship around? Is it a this year issue, or is it, the next, is it like a 5-year plan?
No, I think it's going to straighten itself out, especially with some of the rookies I drafted last year. I mean, Algier's already starting in place of injury for the Falcons. Pacheco's got a ton of looks. I think it's just a matter of keeping my early round draft picks and staying the course.
Staying the course. There you go. I like that. What, oh, realistically, how long do you think this league is going to be in existence?
I, you know what? That's a very valid question.
Respectfully, and no shade, but I mean, I wouldn't
No.
know 14 people who I would be in a keeper league with.
I think that as long as we stay true to, voting on different rule changes and not just flying by the seat of our pants, which I don't think we've done yet. I think we've stayed good. I mean, I see this lasting a while. It's a very active chat.
Nice.
Everyone, gets along well. There's a lot of trades, so I think it has some legs.
That's good news, because I am very interested, and I would love to reconnect in a few years to see how it's going.
Definitely.
But that was another thing I wanted to talk about, was the trades. I feel like our league, we don't make a ton of trades. It's like we do a lot of loaners. So like the top four teams this year have all recently acquired a loaner. The bottom four team have all given out a loaner. But we don't do like a ton of like straight up trades. Does your league do many straight up trades?
Yeah, and to be fair, during last year's season, there was very little of it. I mean, almost no trades. But in the off season, it exploded. And during draft day, or really draft week, I guess, there were quite a few. So I think people also realized that one way to get around the $5 transaction fee is to make a trade. Because that's not taxed, but yeah, some of us got a little carried away in the trades just because it was, hey, it's a little exciting, but I have a feeling that'll slow down.
And remind me again, how many are in your starting lineup? How many slots?
What is it? One, two, three, four, eight. So one
Okay.
quarterback, one running back, one receiver, tight end, and then three flex spots.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I guess I thought the making it a keeper league would make it harder to get rid of people, but I guess when you're arguing over, third string running backs, you can work something out a little bit easier. I feel like that's our issue.
Yeah. I think what seemed to be the most attractive point of trades right now are the draft picks. You know, people trying to look out, you know, next year or you know, 2 years from now and trying to acquire first rounds versus more so than players, I would say.
Yeah, gotcha. And let's see, lastly and most importantly, if your fantasy if your fantasy persona was an NFL team person, whatever, who or what would you be?
Oh man, I struggled with this one. I hesitate to go a little self-deprecating here, but I finished in fourth place last year, and right now I am next to last. So I think right now I may say Bill O'Brien as GM.
Nice.
just making some debatable moves.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, just someone who's pretty consistent. So, I mean, I think for, with the exception of this year, I'd say Steelers, pretty consistent. Stick with my core guys.
Yeah, there we go. I like that. And you know, Bill O'Brien's got that dog in him, and I think they just shouldn't have made him the fucking GM. He's a great coach, I think. I don't know why they just like kept promoting him.
It really kind of made no sense to me. But guess what? That's why I'm not an NFL exec.
You're not an NFL exec, but like Bill O'Brien, you are a bunch of fuckers. So we'll leave it at that. All right, the next game I want to do is, well, I guess the only game, but this is a new one. I want to describe a Super Friends team, and you tell me who their counterpart is based off my description, all right?
So this is like an NFL counterpart?
No. For your league, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Does that work?
It does. I will see what I can do here.
Come up with it on the fly. It's all good. All right. First, we have I didn't write down my descriptions of teams, so I'm going to be doing it on the fly, too. All right. I'll start with the Olifants because that's my own team. The Olifants, they've historically been pretty not great. I'd say the past, you know, 3 or 4 years, they've made a run. I think I made the playoffs the past few years. But just cannot get over the finish line. A couple second place finishes, but no super exciting teams.
Man, as soon as you said couldn't get over the finish line, it hate to say it, but it sounded like my team last year. Yeah. I finished in fourth. I missed out on the money by one game. Yeah, I was kind of hanging middle of the pack, so I may have to say me.
All right, there we go. Iron City Olifants and the Bad News Bears should team up sometime. All right, next up, we'll do the Running Fools. The Fools are kind of like the Patriots. No one really likes them because they came into the league and kicked all our asses. They got a three-peat. They've hit some hard times recently, but it's not all their fault. They were the top scoring team last year. They just, the record couldn't get into the playoffs, so they're kind of the juggernaut of our league, I would say.
All right, so for this counterpart, I'm going to have to go with Mr. Bernardi, Sean's dad. He, in our initial draft, he picked up Cooper Kupp in the fourth round. Talk about
damn
a steal.
Yeah.
And he is 7-0 this year. I know that the Running Fools aren't quite that hot this season, but in terms of what Mr. Bernardi's been able to do this first season and a half, it sounds a lot like the Running Fools.
All right. I like that. Sounds good. Let's see who's next. I guess we'll do the technical fouls. They've won. I'm pretty sure Chez has won one championship at least. We'll say just one, but recently, man, has his team been just absolute dog shit. Fumbling some trades, squeaked into the playoffs, but was not an exciting team. So who would you say is the counterpart?
I am going with Mouse on this one. Last year, Mouse's team actually was pretty good. He made the playoffs, he actually beat me in the third and fourth place game. But this year, oh my God, he did so much talking about how he was winning. And lo and behold, he is the second lowest points scored.
Nice.
So we've been very happy to see him lose two in a row. Chez, that doesn't mean anything about your team, but I've got to go with Mouse as his counterpart right now.
All right, right on, right on. Let's see who's next. Who can I think of? We'll do Eric's for power and vitality. Let's see, how would I describe for power and vitality? They are they've also won a couple championships, not back to back. I'd say they're pretty much perennially in the conversation. This year obviously is not working out for them, and I think last year they squeaked into the playoffs. Squeaking, what a fucking English major.
We'll cut that part out.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd say for the most part, he puts up a pretty good squad.
I think for this one, I'm going to go with, man, I feel like I'm saying a lot of the same names that I've said earlier, but I'm going with Plumpy.
Plumpy, there we go.
Plumpy last year had a fairly average squad, but this year he's pretty strong. And unless I'm mistaken from listening to the pod this season, and I'm trying to keep up with y'all's league, I'm pretty sure Power and Vitality has done okay.
It's done fine, yeah, so far.
I'm going to tip my cap a little bit, but I'm predicting them to win week 9. So, yeah, I'm going to say that most closely aligns with Plumpy.
For Plumpy and Vitality, that works great. All right, next up we have the Cincinnati Soup Cans. This is Didiano. I think he's the newest member of the league. He took over Austin Ramsey's place. I think he's a second place finish under his belt. I'd say probably his biggest weakness, and I think he would agree, is maybe not obsessing over fantasy enough, and that's probably good for the rest of his life. Doesn't do too much on the waiver wire. Doesn't make a ton of trades, makes a little bit here and there. But despite that, he's just happy with his team. And he's been to the finals at least once. So is there a counterpart in your league?
I'm going to say yes. And I'm torn between two. No, I'm actually going to go with the one that I haven't said before. And this is going to be Corey in our league. I don't think it's anyone. It's definitely not someone that any of y'all have met, but good team, doesn't make a whole lot of moves. And honestly, I think it works out well for him. Mm-hmm. He's kind of been middle of the pack the last 2 years, but he's primed for a few pretty fantastic years coming up. He's earned a few draft picks. So I'm going to go with Corey.
All right, right on. Cincinnati and Corey. All right, next up we have One Faced Wonders. Man, how would I describe David's team? They've not won a championship. I don't recall them ever getting to the finals either. But this year he's got a very solid team, made a couple big moves, and now is definitely making some noise, and I could very easily see him making it and winning the finals.
Oh, wow. That's going to be Paul Collins, the gray-haired man in our league. Also, fun fact about Paul Collins.
Yeah.
Only one of us in the league actually knew him personally, and he came in with his team name was Shitstain. And that made quite the impression. He's now changed it to Razor Cut, whatever that means.
Oh my God. But
he is—he's one that's going to be fighting for the top spot this year. So I think he's probably the most appropriate counterpart.
All right, there we go. I like it. Then next to last, we have Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Denny has never won a championship. Has definitely been pretty close a couple of times. So I'd say they're more often than not, they're making the playoffs, but just can't close, as Randy likes to say.
Wow. I hope that's changed since the Ireland trip, but I believe his counterpart will be Dave Hahn.
Okay.
Dave had a very solid season last year, couldn't close, didn't make it into the playoffs, but was close. And this year too, he's only got one win. He has not been able to close. Dave Hahn for sure.
Nice. All right. And lastly, we have the Real Americans. I saved them for last because they're the most annoying by far. Just a dog shit team that does the craziest fucking moves and then somehow ends up winning a championship and now somehow in line to maybe win a second championship.
Wow. I have to say the only part that does not align in with this person I'm going to make the comparison to is the dog shit team. But I think sounds like Sean Bernardi.
Okay.
Makes some pretty strategic moves. I hate his team because it is just so consistently successful.
Mm-hmm.
Love to hate him, but I can't say his team is dog shit because he has made quite a few good moves.
Nice. All right. I like it. Cool. Well, we'll maybe we'll do a Super Bowl at the end of the year. Do you guys play Week 18?
We don't. Ours goes to... where are we at? I think 15 or so.
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome.
I can't remember what... Yeah, I think 15 starts the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Then Week 18, we'll... Our champion versus your champion, we'll do a champion off. I don't know how we'll figure that out, but we'll do it. All right, cool. Well, that's that game. A couple other questions though. As a devoted listener, what are your impressions of the Super Friends League? Any favorite teams? When you listen, what are you thinking about?
I mean, I'll be straight up with you. I feel like part of my energy is just spent trying to keep up with it, you know, without having it in front of me. But
yeah.
I have really enjoyed one. I've enjoyed seeing how much homework all of the guests have done. I mean, everyone in this league is so fun to listen to. I mean, what could be better than listening to your friends talk about football?
Yeah, they bring the right game for sure.
Absolutely. It's been fun to kind of see how some of the teams and strategies have either worked or not worked, mm-hmm. like the Running Fools kind of losing their identity this season. I got to say, I did not expect it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any favorites. I'm pretty new to it, so
yeah.
I don't think that would be fair for me to say.
Yeah, I like it. Do you feel comfortable making a prediction on who's going to win this year?
I kind of picked two teams because okay. I don't fully understand how the East versus West works and how that factors into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
While I do know each team, I don't know who's in each division.
Right.
So I'm going to sound like a homer right now, but one of the two teams I'm predicting to win will be the Oliphants.
Let's go.
And the other team is the Soup Cans.
Ooh, the Soup Cans. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Bit of a dark horse there.
Yeah.
I like it though.
And again, I don't know if this is going to be accurate after all of the trade mania. I don't know how on top of things I am since
yeah.
then.
Yeah. Yeah. That was tough for me to keep track of. And I had it all written down. So no worries there. But all right, cool. Well, we'll check back in hopefully when I'm crowned champion of the league. But in the meantime, do you want to make some picks for this upcoming week, week 9?
I would love to. I am going to go out on a limb and predict that not only will I break the trend of, well, I think it's 1-3 in terms of picks, I will break the trend of the guest losing after they're on the pod.
There we go. Finally. That would be amazing. All right, cool. So we'll get into that. I'm just finishing up my organization here. And I will say for those listening that we do not have the benefit of knowing if there have been any more trades or injuries, but we're going to give it the old college try anyway. So we're picking like 2 weeks ahead of time. But that's all good. I guess just 1 week ahead of time, but that's right. All right. First up, we'll start with the Running Fools versus the Cincinnati Soup Cans.
All right. I like that Lamar Jackson is just crushing his opponents. I think that having Dameon Pierce is working out well. T. Higgins, Tonyan's been successful. And, man, the Running Fools, again, losing themselves a little bit. I mean, Darren Waller's been nothing to really write home about.
Mm-hmm.
Dak has been hurt. Mixon has not been the beast that he was last year. So, sorry, Bra Guy. I'm going with the soup cans.
Going with the soup cans. Wow, nice. Okay. Yeah, I know Brian's a little bit more in tank mode than the soup cans are. Let's see, Lamar Jackson's going to get up against New Orleans that week. Debo's on a bye. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to join you. I'll join you with the soup cans. And, all right, next up we have technical fouls.
That's a technical foul.
Versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Does anybody want some more Gatorade?
I was pretty back and forth on this one. But for me, well, sorry, Matt. You know Benjamin's not going to get you 26 freaking points again.
I can count
on that. I think that Matt's team, looking at it, is kind of a lot of B-teamers. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm his counterpart. Technical fouls, I don't think they have the star power to get it done. I think that some of these guys are going to be, you know, they may have a great week. But, I mean, looking at Denny Irvine's Gatorade, I mean, there are some studs. Travis Kelce, yeah. Jamar Chase. I know Saquon will be on the bye for them this week. But, I mean, honestly, there's some depth. Michael Thomas can get put in that flex. Brian Robinson for Washington is going to get a lot of touches. So I'm going with Denny Irvine's Gatorade in this one.
Yeah, I think I'm agreeing with you. I think the most interesting player to watch will be Ramondre Stevenson, because A, I hate him, and B, I feel like there are a couple, or there's at least one Patriots running back that has been banged up, so I think that he'll be coming back by week 9 potentially. But despite that, maybe lower numbers for Ramondre Stevenson. I mean, the star power between Derrick Henry, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, their connection has been lights out lately, plus Travis Kelce. And again, the technical fouls are a little bit in tank mode too. I think I'm joining you once again, taking Denny Irvine's Gatorade. And then the next matchup, we have the Real Americans versus For Power and Vitality.
Yeah, I took a pretty good long look at this one. This one, I think the Real Americans are going to be a little hurt by James Robinson getting traded to the Jets. I still think he'll be fairly limited in that return. Zeke will be on bye. Not that he's been putting up real great numbers anyway. I think Mike Evans will still be a little bit banged up, even though he's still slated to play in week 8, let alone week 9. But, man, looking at For Power and Vitality, I think Kyler Murray's quietly putting together a pretty strong season. Lenny Fournette, Jalen Waddle, you can never count them out. The one thing that will really hurt For Power and Vitality is having Breece Hall out for the season with injury. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Poppy and Miles Sanders, you've got tons of good, still some good players on this bench. So I am going with For Power and Vitality.
Oh, all right. I like that. I like that pick a lot. Yeah, this one is kind of tough. Couple key buys for the Real Americans, and it's tough to say who exactly he's gonna start in this one. Yeah, I don't know. I think the connection between Josh Allen and Gabe Davis has been pretty incredible lately. I don't know they'll be able to keep that up though, week after week. Let's see when their bye is. They just had their bye.
He does have A.J. Brown on the bench in this too. So, I mean, he can put A.J. Brown in. You know, I think this will be probably the one to watch this week, but I'm sticking with For Power and Vitality.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that one. I'm going to differ with you on this one. I'm going to go the Real Americans. But, that one should be pretty interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'll let you know who comes out on top. All right, and then the matchup of the week, the Iron City Olifants versus the One-Faced Wonders.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs has been coming on pretty strong. I don't know if that will sustain. Man, Dave's going to be hurting with Nick Chubb and Amari Cooper out. Looks like he does have some pretty good players on the bench right now. I mean, he's got Diggs and Cooper Kupp. You know what? I don't think it's going to slow down Tyreek. Nothing can slow down Eckler. Mahomes, yeah, right. Everett, Ramon, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god coming back from concussion.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't need 100% function in his brain anyway. And I am going to give the Olifants a victory.
Oh, my God. I love it. Yeah, I'm a pretty big dog in this fight right now. I have Christian McCaffrey on bye. That's not great. Broncos defense.
No, John, that's great. That gives him a whole extra week to prepare and learn that 49ers playbook. I think that actually really works out in your face. Oh, no, sorry. He's on bye for game.
Yeah, for this upcoming game. But after that.
You're right.
Yeah.
I looked at that wrong. Yeah, that's all right. You're right.
Yeah. But, you know, despite that, hopefully DeAndre Swift is coming back healthy pretty soon. He's been out, I think, the past, like, 4 weeks. One of those was a bye. Plug him in there. Hopefully he gets a couple starts under his belt before then. You know what? I'm just not the kind of guy who's going to pick against myself unless it's for a reverse jinx, and I'm not doing a reverse jinx this time. I think the Iron City Olifants are going to beat the One Face Wonders and become first place in the West Division. Thanks to, let's see, who's going to be my player of the game here? Let's say, oh my God, Tyreek Hill against the Bears. Fucking forget about it. He's going to be my player of the week. There you have it.
I'm with you on that.
Awesome. All right, great. Well, Keegan, this has been a ton of fun. Thanks so much for hopping on the pod. It's been great talking to you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good luck to everyone, including the One Face Wonders this week.
You son of a bitch. All right, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
See you, bud.
Bye. And that's our show for the week. Big shout out to Keegan for hopping on the pod this week. Thanks for filling that gap for me. Glad we didn't have to take 2 weeks off over here. Huge help. Shout out to you. Best of luck to everyone this week except David. This has been a super fancy football show. I'll see you next time, and until then, I'll see you in Nairobi.